All right, guys, back again. Week two, Rusty Mansell live here, Dogs HQ. I'm in Atlanta, so I'm being fully committed to the show, and stopped by the 92.9 studio tonight, closest place I could do it. I do radio here every week, once a week, so pulled in here to 92.9. As you guys start checking in, let me know. Already see a Go Dogs from Nashville. Ty was in last week. Ty, we'll talk about it, I'm sure. But, man, Jared Curtis, what a performance he put on there. But as people get in here, just let me know where you're from, and we'll start taking some questions as we get going. And just want to say thank you for everybody that reached out last week. It was great. And we got some good news coming with this show in particular. Probably be able to announce that next week, so I'm excited about that. But, you know, started last week with an introduction on how I got into the business. I'm going to start this week with a quick story as people get in. Got Hawkinsville right there. So quick story, and everybody wants to hear a Rusty story. So I'll give you one before we get digging into this Marshall game and closing the chapter on that. You guys know that I am from Rome, and I am very close to Nick Chubb, covered Nick Chubb since high school. And I thought about this today. What would I say? What's the story there? Got a lot of moments with Nick Chubb. I'll give you my favorite moment with Nick Chubb, and I'll tell you why I want to reiterate how good a dude he is. So I'm going to take it back to late July of 2017, right before the Rose Bowl season, right before that's about to start. Sony Michel, Nick Chubb, Davin Bellamy, Lorenzo Carter, Roquan Smith, all those guys come back. And I'm sitting there, I believe it was like a Saturday, and it was late in July, fall camp's about to start. I get a text from Nick, and that's kind of rare. Every 3 or 4 months, I would get something from him, but he texts me, he said, "Are you home?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Will you be home tomorrow?" And I said, "Probably, you know, what's up, what time?" He goes, "I just want to stop by for a second." I said, "Okay, I'll be home at this time if you're going to be around." So next day comes up. I get a text from Nick, and he says, "Hey, I want to stop by for a minute." I said, "Okay, come on by, Nick." I don't know what's going on, and I'm hoping nothing's wrong because I know he's about to start fall camp. So Nick comes up. He's got one of his high school best friends with him. He's someone he's really close with. He pulls up. I go outside my driveway. Of course, my kids are kind of freaking out a little bit. Nick Chubb's in our driveway. But, you know, he got out of the car, and we talked for a minute, small talk. And I looked at him. I said, "Nick, you know, is everything good? You know, everything good for you?" And he goes, "Yeah." He goes, "I just wanted to come by and personally thank you for everything you've ever done for me, covering me, all these things." I'm like, "Nick, like, you don't owe me anything. Like, it was a pleasure covering you in high school." It was, you know, he knows that I got him in the Adidas All-American game at the end. I'm still on the table for him. And he was the last kid we took that year. But, you know, when I tell you about little moments like that, what that meant to me, for him to do that, because I know he was leaving for camp like the next day to go to Georgia. So I always give you a little quick story. I want to share that one tonight. So, you know, when you think about Nick Chubb and this season that he's got coming up in Houston, he is a damn good dog, and he's that guy, man. He really is behind the scenes. So I know you guys want to hear more about Nick Chubb, but that's one of my favorite memories ever, is he just pulled up one day and said, "I just want to thank you everything." And, you know, it's out there a little bit, but he and Sony did a documentary, and they asked me to be in it. I love it. It's a great – when they release that thing, people are going to love it. So I'm excited about that. Appreciate everybody joining in, man. Daresville, Georgia. Calhoun, Georgia, my neck of the woods. Yep, Chubb's always one of my favorites. All right, guys, you keep checking in. Let me know where you are. Thank you, too, for the comments last week and, you know, talk with Jake, and we just decided to do this. And again, probably next week we'll have some good news about this show in particular. It's not going anywhere anytime soon. So I'm going to try to be consistent with Tuesday night. Sometimes I might have to do Wednesday, but I did last week on Tuesday. So up here tonight, I had to pull over in Atlanta to do this one. So appreciate you guys. Let's kind of put a bow on Marshall. You know, we've talked about it. You know, if you guys aren't subscribers to Dogs HQ, we've been talking about it. Jake and I have done a HQ Plus today on our YouTube thing. It's out. Jake Roos and I did the Georgia show Sunday night. We talked about it. Me and Jake Rowe talked about Marshall as soon as the game was over. And that's kind of the stuff that we talk about there. But, you know, going back and looking at it, I think it is what it is. You know, can a game be cleaner? Yeah, but I think the emphasis for me, the biggest emphasis for me was please have a fast start. Please don't sit here and have 10 points at halftime. And then, you know, we have to sit here and ask questions about how did that happen again. Three out of the first four drives, Georgia scored a touchdown and had a couple plays in there where you didn't a couple drives afterwards where things didn't quite work out. But fast start for me, Gunnar Stockton, I loved the fourth down speed option there. Twice Georgia went for it. We talked about this on the Dogs HQ. I've talked about it. Don't think for 1 minute that Kirby Smart didn't run that speed option on fourth down to put that on tape. And now everybody has to prepare. You know that Gunnar Stockton has got the run game, but you see that and you go, man, he's got to. Now we got to prepare for that. So they'll never admit this, but I guarantee you Georgia is working some periods this week for Tennessee. Tennessee plays East Tennessee State University this weekend. Don't think for 1 minute they're not doing some periods on Georgia for the next week, and that's just the way things go. Doesn't mean they're going to spend a whole day, but they're going to spend a little time looking ahead, and that's just the way it goes. So I would imagine that Tennessee this week is working a little bit of option game and things like that. So appreciate you, man, checking in from Savannah. Got Daresville, Georgia, Rainsville, Alabama. Yep, went through Rainsville not too long ago. Cartersville, Georgia. Thank you, guys. We'll get to some questions in a minute, so you guys keep letting me know what you want to hear, ask about over there, and I'll get in there. But kind of want to put a bow on things. We've talked about it over and over and over. I was very impressed with the defense. I thought physically up front, you know, they probably didn't have a bunch of blitzes. I didn't get into the deep weeds on those things, but what you want to see is those three or four guys resetting the line of scrimmage and really controlling things. And it kind of started on the first play. You look at Gabe Harris, number zero, you know, he got off the block, made a tackle for like a 1 yard gain or not even a gain. That's what you want to see. You want to see those three down linemen controlling line of scrimmage, because what happens there, it allows those athletes in behind you to run and make plays. And at Georgia, you know, a lot of people talk about Trayvon Walker. I think Trayvon Walker had 9 sacks in 3 years at Georgia. And I think he had 6 the last year. So he only had 9 sacks in 3 years. Trayvon Walker had 20 sacks in 1 season in the NFL, I think. Or he has 21 sacks in the first 2 years. So sometimes Georgia, you're not going to get all those stats. You're going to have to do your job and let the guy behind you. Doesn't mean that you're not productive. Doesn't mean the NFL sees it. You know, people talk about Georgia, you know, not having a bunch of sacks. Sometimes those guys are doing their job. And Trayvon Walker's a prime example. But really like what I saw there. I thought Raylan Wilson played great. This is a guy that was a 5-star. I think he was a number 2 linebacker in America coming out of Tallahassee. It was a big battle. Really, because Florida State was kind of down them. That was a battle between Michigan and Georgia. And at one point, Michigan thought they had Raylan Wilson. Glenn Schumann got that one done. I think a lot of focus and a lot of talk has been on C.J. Allen and K.J. Bolden and Christian Miller and those guys, and rightfully so. They're returning guys. But number 5, man, I'm telling you, that guy can have a huge year for Georgia. He looks good. He looks fast to me. They used him on some blitz packages, which I haven't seen that too much of. Obviously, with Jalen Walker last year, he was running those third down things. So, you know, it's one of those guys. But really, we've talked about, you know, Marshall, I think, as much as you are. But you look at Raylan Wilson. I mean, that when you look at a Georgia linebacker, that's what you think. I mean, that dude, he's built like an NFL guy. And I think he's going to have a great year for Georgia. I'm excited for him. I'm excited for that room. But I think Raylan Wilson – Just briefly, what I saw Saturday, he looked to me like he had another gear. And I said, you know, a lot of people give me credit for Jalen Carter. I said Jalen Carter, the minute he got to Georgia, would be the first guy drafted out of that class. And he was. I thought Raylan Wilson might be the first guy drafted out of his class. I thought he was that much potential. He still does. This is a big, big year for him. I'm excited about him. Let's close the books on Marshall there, and let's go to Austin Peay. And, you know, first of all, to get your attention, beating Middle Tennessee State like they did, and they beat them good. I would imagine when Kirby Smart talked to his team, the first thing he thought, don't think lower-level opponent, because that Division I team they played last week, they beat the brakes off of them by 20, I think, 34-14. So, you know, that gets your attention. And Kirby Smart loves stuff like that. I'm sure that was was able to get everybody's attention. But, you know, what he expected on Saturday, this is what I want to see. Okay, I'm talking strictly from Georgia's perspective. I want to see continued success in the run game. I want to see running backs making people miss. I love Dwight Phillips. Now, I'm telling you, I'm a peanut guy. And I love that he sees the hole. And I love that he can run through arm tackles. And I want to see him become an even bigger contributor. This is a guy we can count on. You see him right there running right through arm tackles. He's fast. I guarantee he's one of the top two or three fast players on the team, without question. And put on some weight. And so excited about him. I want to see Georgia take that next step in the pass game. I want to see some shots downfield. I want to see them take some explosive plays and take some more shots. We know. I promise you, we know. A lot of you got to go to some of those fall scrimmages and see those things. There was a lot of explosive plays. Noah Thomas, Kobe Young, Talon Taylor, all those guys. I want to see a little bit more vertical in the passing game. When you look at number one right there, Zachariah Branch, he's everything you thought he was. I promise you, that dude, that guy's invaluable for Georgia. And you talking about chewing up grass with a ball in his hand. I mean, this dude, he's a playmaker. And I don't know if he's straight line as fast as Miko Hardman was, because when Miko Hardman was in high school and he was playing Wildcat quarterback, he would take off on you. He had a tad, I'm gonna be picky with Miko, he had a tad bit of stiffness. This guy, unbelievable sudden. Like, he can get to fifth gear so quick. I know a lot of you are watching that game and they throw that tunnel screen out there to him, and I can hear you now, oh no, Bobo, what are we doing? Well, guess what? It was like 29 yards. That dude outran everybody in the angle on him. And then he takes a check down and takes it to house. I mean, I say this all the time. Sometimes you just have to out-athlete people. This guy can roll. This guy can freaking roll. So appreciate y'all, everybody checking in, man. Yes, deep shots to Branch. C.J. Wiley. I think C.J. Wiley. Listen, they've got a huge upgrade in the wide receiver room. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. So I'm expecting things out of that room. I'm expecting what we've talked about in fall camp. I'm expecting big things there. They got some young guys that can go. London Humphreys. You know, what about Ethan Barbour, guys? He started, and we like the role they put him in. You know, they put Ethan Barbour in that role of like the H-back, fullback type thing, and physicality. Kid out of Milton High School. You know, you throw that term around. A lot of people do in my part of the industry. Like, he's got that dog in him. Ethan Barber's got that dog in him. I'm telling you, and you can tell the way they're using him in motion to block ends and to block backside defensive ends, to come in motion to pick people off. I mean, he can catch, but physicality, man, got him there, and I loved it. I loved the fullback, and I told y'all, and Jake Rowe told y'all, you're going to get some fullback, because Georgia's always had a little bit, but you get the trickle-down effect. What you saw in the NFL last year, don't think these teams will sit there and watch those three or four teams that were very successful fullback. Well, here it comes. I just want somebody to have a neck roll. I want somebody to have one of those white neck rolls, like the white. I want a white one. I don't want that black plastic pad. I want an old-school damn white neck roll, and I'm in. So maybe we can talk somebody into that. But yeah, guys, seeing some of your questions there. Is Isaiah Gibson going to get some playing time this year? I believe Isaiah Gibson got some this past week. Now, he's going to be down a little bit, you know, early on, but this is a guy, they're sky high on him. And, you know, he was a five-star out of Warner Robins, and that's a kid that you're probably going to see more, than that. Yeah, man, bring the cowboy collar back. I love it. Quavon Hicks had a great face mask. I don't even know if y'all remember that thing. I don't even know how the hell that was even legal. Quick trivia question. Quavon Hicks was the first player I ever went to see. I think it's 2010 when 24/7 started. We weren't even a company yet. They just put me on the road, said, go start taking pictures. So I went down to Southeast Georgia, and Quavon Hicks, first person I ever went to see at Pierce County High School. So any updates on Juan Gaston? Yeah, we've had some stuff on Dogs HQ, and you heard Kirby today say that he wants maybe he get a chance to come back. This is my gut feeling here, just trying to put pieces of the puzzle together. I think Ernest Green's got a real good chance of playing this weekend. I don't think they're going to rush it with Juan Gaston. I think Juan Gaston has a shot to play against Tennessee. The biggest thing was we confirmed, and we made a note on Dogs HQ for you subscribers, was yesterday that Juan Gaston did not require surgery. At that point, I felt a lot better. No, his dad made a social media post Saturday night, said, hey, big guy's fine. But, you know, that's where we are with those guys. So Michael Morris with a hand cast. And listen, all these things you can read on Dogs HQ too. Now, that was there today. Jake Rowe and Jeremy Johnson were there. So we got a lot of injury updates. I want to say this, Rob Taylor, and thank you for being here. And it said Green got burned in the first quarter pretty bad. Let me say this, Rob, because to the naked eye, the first thing I thought was, damn, Ernest Green got beat, okay? Jake Rowe, my guy, does an X's and O's. And not only does he do an X's and O's, he talks about it. If you go back and watch that first play where it looks like he's chasing Juan Gaston in the first start of his life, he picks up the wrong guy. Well, it leaves Ernest Green out to dry a little bit to where he's got to close in. Juan Gaston should have got his hands on that backer, and then you got help right there. It's okay. And to me, I was like, here we go again, you know. But I don't think that play that you see right off the bat was so much Ernest Green's fault there. Juan Gaston, you know, he gets his hands on you. I see why that kid started. There's no question. Some of the stunt game he was trying to see and learn, that's communication, those types of things. So I wouldn't put everything on Ernest Green right now. But, you know, that particular play, I was one of the first ones that said, hey, you know, here you go again, and go further investigation. It really wasn't the case. You think Nick Frazier takes some bad lanes on some runs? I don't know that, you know, for me, I think that Nate Frazier, and they said it on the broadcast, kind of dances a little bit too much at times. He's strong. He's fast. I want him to be a little more instinctive. I want him to press it a little bit and be a little bit more patient, get in behind your guys. I think at times, you know, he's probably got in his head, I got to get to the hole so quick, you know. It's okay to dance every now and then, but you got to put your foot in the ground and go. And I think Nate Frazier, he's still the guy. Don't get me wrong. He's still the guy. But a couple of things being picky there, you know, does he see it perfect? I don't know. The great running backs, the great vision, the great ones, they see it. And I've been around it. I played with a state player of the year that had about 2,500 yards. And he could find a hole out of nothing. I did a game. If you guys saw it, I did Jay Lamar from Colquitt County Friday night against North Gwinnett. And the first thing I noticed about him, he makes something out of nothing. I'm telling you, he had 150 yards rushing. He had a couple of explosive plays, but I love the fact that it looked like it was nothing. And next thing you know, he got seven. So and Dwight Phillips is so fast. You know what I mean? So I like what you see out of him, Chauncey Bowens. I just want to see Nate see it. You know what I mean? Not run into back of somebody sometimes or try to, you know, bounce to the sidelines. I still think he's a dude, man. And I still think his best days are ahead, too. I'm not giving up on him. You mentioned there, Green wasn't hurting before the game, but it tightened up during the game. He had some back stiffness that tightened up on him, and they pulled him out. Bo Hughley had to wind up playing right tackle. So, Jake Rowe has a piece on that, too, if you guys want to check what he thought about that. Appreciate everybody here checking in. Rockwell, North Carolina. How is Rod Robinson progressing at tailback? Get this a lot of questions, a lot of times here. Here's what I'll say. He's had troubles and injuries. Everybody knows that. And, you know, now he's dealing with a little bit of a hamstring. But, you know, I feel like this is a pretty big, important time for Roger Robinson because I do think – if there's people in that room that are taking steps, Bo Walker, you know what you got in Cash Jones, you know, Nate, you got Dwight Phillips, you know, he's got to get healthy and he's got to get in there and he's got to get some good. He's got Josh McQuarrie, a kid out of Illinois. The kid started last year. Now he battled some health stuff in fall camp. So, you know, if you're Roger Robinson, man, you have got to stay healthy. And then when you get the chance, man, you got to make the most of it because You had a place at Georgia, and if you kind of get banged up and you get down the list, sometimes you don't get back. So not giving up on him, but He needs to take advantage. He needs to get healthy pretty quick. Looking ahead, Gunner starts 2 years in Pugs. I don't see Curtis sitting for 2 years. I don't know that it plays out like that, to be honest with you. There's a long time between now and then, how that works out. It's funny because everybody saw Ryan Puglisi really for one of the first times this past week, and everybody's like, oh, my God, his arm. The dude was highly recruited for a reason, you know, and he's so young. It really is. Like, Gunner Stockton's in his fourth fall. This is basically almost his first, really, because of being hurt last year. You know, he had a little bit of fall camp, but he was so down the list. He's getting some real reps. So when I say Ryan Puglisi has a lot left in him, he's got a lot left in him. He's still learning, you know, progressions. He's still learning the small things, making the right calls, checks, and all that. But as far as physical tools, Ryan Puglisi's got it all. I mean, he's got a damn rocket strapped to his right shoulder. And it's exciting to watch him. Still a little ways away right now. And we'll see how much I played him. I said this Sunday. I loved that Kirby Smart put him in the game, and he didn't let him hand off. He let him run the offense. That was invaluable to me to see that. Let's see what else we got. Four punts against the worst D1 team in America. Larry, I don't know what to say there, buddy. You know, they put up 45 points, and sometimes it ain't all going to work out, but I don't know that Marshall's the worst team in America. North Carolina didn't look great last night either. So, Lafayette, Georgia, man, good to see you. Forsyth County, Georgia. You know, how's Ellis Robinson progressing? Starting. I think this is a guy, and Kirby mentioned in his press conference, he said he had to get in shape. He had to learn to compete the entire time. And I think Ellis Robinson, sometimes the switch flips on. Like, sometimes you have these kids that are five stars and it never clicks and you're like, what happened? I think I'm not trying to put too much on him, but Ellis Robinson is not playing around. And when Dalen Everett comes back, will not surprise me to see Dalen Everett and him right now. But you also got Daniel Harris, who's invaluable, stepped right in and played the other day. Both of them did. Ellis Robinson, Daniel Harris has been starting. But I think that's going to be a battle, kind of who it is. And again, you're going to play some teams that are going to stretch you out so far. You're going to need all these DBs. I love Dominic Kelly, man, the young kid. Jake Rose said, what did Jake Rose say on the board? He's born like he was ready to play corner. And listen, that's a kid that just turned 17. I know everybody talked about Ryan Williams last year being 17. Dominic Kelly came to Georgia at 16 years old. He reclassed up. And that's a kid that, you know, may not make a dent this year, but I like what I saw out of him. And I'm interested where he is a year from now when there's some minutes open at that corner position, see where he's at. You know, I think a couple things that, you know, offensive line's got to get better, and everybody knows that. Not really in panic mode there. I thought that if you had told Georgia after the third series they were going to be without Ernest Green and Juan Gaston, they'd probably been like, oh, boy, you know, what we got going on here. Dominic Kelly. Yeah, you see Kirby. And listen, Kirby, they know that those young kids. That's Kirby's room now. He's a DB guy. You got T-Rob there. You know, Will Muschamp spent a couple of weeks with those guys in the fall while he was in town. So plenty of defensive back guys on that staff. They're always going to be up on those guys. Play up in Minneapolis, man. Take care of my boy Tate. Looking forward to watching those guys play. If eligible, KJ go first round this upcoming draft? Possibly. KJ's got to gain some weight, and he knows that. But he's a sure tackler. He's a sure tackler, man. He's slight in the frame a little bit. And he knows he needs to gain some weight. He will gain some weight. He's a 10-600 guy. He's got the speed. He's instinctive. I think he definitely needs this year and next year to get himself right. You know, if I had to put money on anybody right now, I'm not going to touch a freshman. That's so long ago. If I had to put money on anybody right now that I would say these guys going to be first rounders when they're eligible, I would say Chris Cole is going to be a first rounder, and I would say KJ Bolden is going to be a first rounder. I'm confident in those two, the way they're built. I'm telling you, man, number nine special, and they're going. He's going to be more important as the year goes on. And don't think because you don't see him out there in first down. This kid's his best days are ahead of him. It gives me so much Quay Walker vibes. He's not quite 245, I think, what Quay Walker was. But he'll get there, but he's long now. He is long. And he can cover. So if the O-line plays like that, they will not make it to Atlanta. Okay? We'll keep that out. Keep that. Larry, it's one game, brother. Hang with them. Hang with them. They rushed for 240 yards, and, you know, let's see what we got. Larry's hot tonight. But Larry, we're going to be all right, man. We'll see. Ernest Green's injury prone. He had a back surgery as a freshman, and, you know, he a little banged up last year, but for the most part, he's played a lot of games over his career. Appreciate you, Flintstone, Georgia. I've actually been to Flintstone, Georgia, right up there on the Georgia-Tennessee line. They didn't believe that was a spot until then. Let's see. Gold Dogs from Moultrie. CJ had you guys last week. Jay Lamar, special. I thought he was good. You know, got a young Colquitt team. Not the biggest Colquitt County team I've seen in a while, but I was impressed with Jay Lamar for sure. Appreciate you there, Brad, checking in. You know, guys, we're going to do this every week. I'm going to spend about 5 more minutes with you, but thank you guys for all this, and thank you for being Dogs HQ subscribers. We have got some cool stuff we're going to announce pretty soon, and I think you guys are going to love this. This is something that's important to me and Jake as co-owners of this site, and we got some exciting news coming pretty soon. Can't wait to announce. Hope I can announce it next week. So do you think Georgia keeps forcing young players into the lineup? I don't know that they're forcing them. I think they're just like, let's get some minutes in. And they got two great games to do this. And Austin Peay, you're the better team. Go out and handle business and let these guys get in. And, you know, I was at the UMass game last year, and I remember those guys played in the third quarter. And I'm going, man, this sucks because this is a great time of year to get these kids live reps. So I think as long as Georgia can, they're going to play as many young players as they can. They got them in early last week. If you go back and watch the tape live, you do, go back and watch the tape. They got a lot of young players in, man. Tallahassee, Florida, Raylan Wilson country right there. Go Dogs from Texas. Well, I tell you, man, this is not a Texas show, but I tried to warn everybody to hold your horses on Arch. I still think Arch Manning is a hell of a quarterback, but he has not seen anything like this. He hadn't played this high school competition. He hasn't been a starter like this. He's going to have a growing curve. He's going to have a learning curve. And it starts this week, but he's got a ways to go. And he didn't ask for that. So, but it is what it is, big boy. And if you're going to make all these commercials and all that, you got to deal with it sometimes. You got a long way to go. Yeah, I had a lot of freshmen play. Does that worry you for Curtis? I'm assuming you think high school top. No, it doesn't worry me from Curtis because Jared Curtis played the best team he's going to play in his high school career, which is a certified – Ensworth is a really good – I would say Ensworth is about like a Marist or Blessed Trinity in Georgia, which are damn good football teams. About those – I mean, those are 4 and 5A teams in Georgia with really good players – or high-level private school ball. They had no business beating Ensworth. And the reason they beat Ensworth Friday night was because of number two. And our Charles Power is one of the best evaluators I've ever seen. And he don't just talk stuff. You know, he was very, to me, he went to that game. He wanted to see Jared Curtis against that team. Because no matter what Jared Curtis does the rest of the year, he's not going to play a team that good. They went up like a couple classes to play them. It was a neighborhood game. You could see how chippy it was. Listen, some people were kind of saying stuff on social media about Jared running his mouth out of the game. I get it. That's all he's ever heard. You don't play anybody. We put his team on his back. And I know they were chanting overrated and all that stuff. They were down 14 to nothing. Twice they were down 14 points in the second half, I think. And he brought them back in big time plays. And that's what you want to see. Had he not played good Friday night, might have given me a little. But, man, he was the best player on the field by far. And he took a team who had no business beating that team, and they beat them. So I know that was a big, big win for them. Rusty, what do you think about the safety play? Let me get this right here. Jermaine King, someone said another show that mentioned, we'll go back to Jermaine King. Yeah, very clean game. You're right, Jermaine. Very clean game from Georgia. The next question, Rusty, what do you think of the safeties? I don't think they really got challenged because if you listen to Jake Rowe talk about it too, and Jake's my guy, they didn't. Marshall wasn't playing around. Their quarterback, let's get the ball out of his hands. I don't want our quarterback killed. And they were not going to challenge those guys down the field. So I think probably get a better look this week against that, see where they are, those things. But I don't think the back end really got tested. I don't know, you know, about tackling. I thought the tackling was good. I thought they tackled well too. So let's get a couple more of these guys. Would you say Curtis has a Stafford arm? I would say, yeah. I'm careful about trying to compare somebody to Matt Stafford. I said this. The two easiest arms I've ever seen since I've been doing it since 2008 were Trevor Lawrence and Jerry Curtis. Just on the hoof. Just walk out there and throw. You go, oh, my God. When I went to Nashville Christian last year, first time I saw him, I remember watching him throw, and I said, holy sh-, to myself, basically, a little bit loud. And the coach looked at me, and he goes, that's the same reaction that every coach comes here has when you see it. It's different. And he's big. Like, he's 6'3", 225, 230. It's a big dude. I would say kind of gives you the Josh Allen, you know, vibe when you see him. But he's definitely got an arm attached to him. And he runs the ball, man. I think he's not a statue. When you look at Jacob Eason, Jacob really couldn't – he couldn't create with his legs. Jacob Eason had a monster arm. He couldn't create with his legs. Jared Curtis most definitely can create with his legs. So Noah Thomas didn't get much action. Heard anything? I hadn't heard anything there. It's a good question, Brad. I fully anticipate Noah Thomas being a big piece of the puzzle. And, again, let's go back after the Tennessee game. And this is what I'll say. Whatever's going on and who's playing, you're going to find out exactly what Georgia thinks about their team week after next. Because when they go to Knoxville, they're not going to be playing around. The best is going to play. The best healthy people that they think will give them an opportunity to win that game. They know what a big game that is to start the year off. So you'll be there. They'll be there. A couple more questions. Miami was impressive. Miami was impressive. You never know. You know what I mean? Because Miami at times look like that, and they'll go out and lose two games. You're like, how in the hell did they lose those games? You know what I mean? So kind of hold your horses there, but obviously I was impressed. I was impressed with the atmosphere. People don't go to Miami games anymore, which is crazy. I grew up watching the Orange Bowl, and you did not want to play in the Orange Bowl against those crowds. I think it's 22 miles from campus. That kind of hurts them. Kids won't go to normal games. That was a Sunday night game against Notre Dame. Let's see what type of environment they have the rest of the year. Can they bring that type of energy? Let's get two more in here, guys. And thank you again. Please say it too. Appreciate the comments last week. I went back and read them all. We're like, you know what? Let's do this. So we're going to do this. A couple more questions here. Let's go a couple more minutes if you guys got anything. Thank you for letting me know where you check in. I always love that. It's crazy the reach on that to see where people are. Have you seen the Calhoun quarterback play, Trace Hawkins? Yes, I have. I actually did the state championship game on TV last year, and I remember seeing Trace Hawkins going, oh, boy, this kid's a freshman. Really good player. Georgia's recruiting him. He has a big game against Cartersville this week, and he'll go against Georgia wide receiver commit Brady Marchese. Cartersville is a really good team. I believe that's number one in 3A versus number three in 4A. So that's a big game in Northwest Georgia. That's a big game for Trace Hawkins and those things. So, listen, Larry, we're good, brother. Everybody's got an opinion, man. So, John from Rome, Georgia. It's my guy there. Appreciate you joining in. Maryland. Rookie quarterback out of Cal. Yeah, Georgia recruited him. So, and he committed to Oregon and wind up backing out the minute. Somebody put on social media today he's going to be the highest paid player in the portal this year. And the first thing I thought of is they're probably not wrong. I'm not sitting here saying the kid's going anywhere and all that. But, I mean, there's a lot of attention on that first game he had at Cal. So, we'll see. We'll see. I've seen Jordan Evans from Sprayberry. Real deal, man. Real deal. Real deal. And that was – he's special now at corner. So Sprayberry, really good football team this year too. Interested how they do. New coach over from Hiram. I like him a lot. Guys, that's going to wrap things up. Thank you again for doing this. I'm hopefully have some good news next week on this particular show, and we'll have some more good news for Dogs HQ. We've been trying to do some things for a long time and got some verbal agreements yesterday. Let's get some things locked in together, get some things done, and I think you'll be excited with the new news. So, guys, that's going to end it tonight. Thank you all again, and we'll be back again this week with some stuff from Dogs HQ. Got some more stuff. Go on the site. Check out HQ Plus. Georgia Show on our YouTube page. We'll have another one this Thursday. We'll be right back at it, me and Jake Rowe, Saturday morning live from Redstone, and another one of our big supporters. That was cool to do that live. And then Saturday after the game, we may or may not have a show, but we will definitely have one Saturday morning. So thank you guys again. Appreciate all the kind words, checking in. Thank you, everybody, for the questions, and we'll see you next week.